Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
As I welcome Pastor Bola Bello as he takes the next battle in this relay race. Please appreciate him. Put your hands together for Pastor B. Pastor, you're welcome, sir.
Lord, we are grateful tonight. Our heart is full of gratitude. Just about a year ago, when you taught us about the priesthood, we are privileged again to stand here in this altar, consecrated for the word of life. You spare our lives. You spare each and every one of us. You did not allow anything to break. You did not allow anything to miss. It's not because we are perfect. It's not because we are strong men, but because we have you as strong God. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you for the help that you granted. Thank you for provision and supply of bread and wine. Thank you for gathering together of your people from various spheres of lives. Thank you for what you are teaching us. Thank you for the instruction that you are passing across. Thank you because we know that this is going to be value change even in the time to come. Men will benefit from it. Men will grow in this thing. Men will come to the stature of the Almighty in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I ask for help. Lord, help me. This is your kingdom. It's not about other things that has to do with men. But this is the trust and the call of the coming of your only begotten Son. Lord, I need your help. Help me. Help my thoughts. Help my tongue. Let there be accuracy. Let me not say what the heaven is not saying. Let me not declare the word of men. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let my thought be filtrated. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let your people hear well. Let them not misunderstand this message. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't want to run in another vision and become another image. We want to become your image. Lord, help us to be what you have designed us from the beginning of the times in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Eternal Father. Thank you for power and glory. Thank you for the promises that you have made for the church. Thank you because you will see fulfilled your counsel concerning this house in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for people that are going through trials, people that are going through confusion, people that are disturbed in their heart, people that does not know the next step to take. I'm asking, Lord, that through this ministration, there will be clarity, there will be direction. Let it not be just for an information, but let it be something that men will live with. And they will remember this for the rest of eternity. Thank you, dear Father. We trust you for all our brethren that are yet to be here, but still hope to be here. That, Lord, you'll be gracious and bring them here tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise the Lord. Can we have our seat? Praise God. Once again, Pastor Boli, you are welcome. Pastor D, Pastor Hoge, you are all welcome. We appreciate you. God bless you in Jesus' name. I also want to welcome every one of us. It's a privilege to be here tonight. Praise God. We are not speaking because we are champion. We are not speaking because we have better revelation. We are just a bond servant of God who is has found grace with him. There are many of you who can see better. Who can speak better. Perhaps we can teach better. But we are just privileged to be here now.
And I want you to know that this thing is dispensational. Praise God. It might become your turn tomorrow. So just get prepared and get whatever you want to get. Learn what you need to learn. And tomorrow you will lay hold on those parchment. And it will become useful for you in Jesus' name. I also want to appreciate my friend, my pastor and his wife for this privilege. Can you help me give them a clap? Praise God. Thank you for sharing this thing. Praise God. What we have found in the church now is leader and leaders. People, you have clergy and laities. Praise God. You just come and listen and listen and listen and listen and listen. But they've been gracious to share this place with us. We are not taking it for granted. Praise God. Basically, I want to try as much as possible to enjoy myself. And I trust that the Holy Ghost will help me. I don't want to do any gymnastics. I don't want to run around. I'm asking for grace. You can also help me and pray for me. Praise God. You know, time and times when this unction is on you, you want to unleash it and make sure that people get it. But it's not done that way anyway. It's God that helps us to be a vessel of honor. Can you please help my wife? Appreciate my wife. Praise God. You're welcome. You're looking beautiful. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm still going to take off from the test where Pastor started his own treatise. And I will see how God will help me. Basically, what I want to discuss within these few months, I title it The Details of the Kingdom. Praise God. The Details of the Kingdom. And of course, when I say talk about the details of the kingdom, it's not necessarily an exponential, you know, details of what the kingdom is all about, but the three integral aspects of the kingdom, which is very, very germane unto us, is what I want to scratch. There are three dimensional aspects of the kingdom, which is very, very important for us to understand and be hopeful. We have to live it, we have to expect it, and we have to remember it. Praise God. It is very, very important, because if we don't know the background, we will not understand the present. And if we cannot articulate the present, we will not be able to run well for future. So I want to really talk about those three integral parts of it and see how it will end. I know by the grace of God it will end well. The book of Genesis chapter 1, I read from verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, see, of course, it's also important for me to make a comment, because we often come into the conclusion that when we talk about the image and likeness of God, we see God as flesh and blood. God is not man, he's not flesh and blood. The image is not what the camera lens capture and produce it and say, okay, this is the image of Pastor Bello. That's not what the image is talking about. But basically, it's talking about the inner nature, the exact nature of the exact nature of God, which we must represent. It's not our look. It's not our height. It's not our body. Somebody say God has leg. I don't know whether he has leg. I don't know whether he has hand. Of course, they talk about that hand. His hand reach everywhere, but it might not necessarily be that literary hand that we are talking about. Of course, it's not even literary hand. So we must not begin to have the mental picture of image, yes, that I am an image of God. God looks like me. God doesn't look like any man. Praise God. It's very important for us to understand. But basically, when he's talking about image, he's talking about the nature of God, the characteristic of God, which Pastor has dealt with in this aspect of his teaching. I think he talks so much about those image, those things that he wants us to become. That is the image. It's not the look. It's not your height. It's not your body. It's not the leg. It's not none of that. As a matter of fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ was coming to the earth, he needed to put on the nature of man. Praise God. He put on the nature of man. You can understand that in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Okay? He put on the nature of man. He did not put on the nature of angels. It's also there in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Can you quickly project the book of Hebrews chapter 1? He did not put on the nature of angels, because if he put the nature of angels, it become invisible. We may not necessarily, a lot of people may not necessarily be able to see him, but he put on the character. Hallelujah. So in other words, this one is talking about the future kingdom. The kingdom that is to come, when the heaven will elope with the earth, and what we saw or what is taking place in the heaven is exactly what will be replicated on earth. Praise God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Presently the earth is yet to come into the will of the Father. We are still struggling. Even those of us that are saved, we are still struggling to do the will of the Father, because certain things are yet to be so clear unto our understanding. But in heaven presently, I don't know whether it was like that in the kingdom, in the previous kingdom, because we will come into that too. But presently, what the heaven is doing is the will of the Father. When an angel is summoned, they do the will of the Father without questioning, without hesitation. And so there is need for that will to also be replicated here on earth. There is need for that. So we are expecting it. We are expecting it. Of course, like Pastor said, the church is not the kingdom, but a subset of the kingdom. A place where the kingdom is learned. A place where the kingdom spread to the uttermost part of the earth. Where the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the king of the whole earth. Is that seat? Psalm 110, verse 1 and 2. Sit down until I make thy enemy to be at thy footstool. So in other words, church has a role to play in the kingdom. She has a work to do in the kingdom. The Lord is sitting down. The Lord is sitting down. And he will only come after the church is prepared, after the church is ready, when the church has fully become the bride and the soldier who are ready and prepared even to fight in that last battle. If God help, we will talk about that. I'm not talking about that now, but I'm just trying to make an explanation about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now again, if you go to the book of the same Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. Look at it. It's also talking about, but he said, now, let's read from, okay, from verse 28. Look at it. He said, but if I cast out devil by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Praise God. The kingdom now. If I cast out devil, if I cast out devil by the Spirit of God, if I am not casting out by another spirit, because it is also possible to cast out devil by another spirit. Do you know why? Because there is rank. In that realm, they have rank, and they submit to themselves. If a higher authority, who is higher than the other, comes and says, come out. God forbid, if I obtain higher demonic power, God forbid, and somebody has less demonic power, that person is subject to me. Do you understand? So, but if the casting out of the demon, of the demons, or the devils, the word there is devils, not devil. Praise God. And it is very instructive for us to take note of it. Because what he's saying is very, very instructive. He's not necessarily talking about a personality that inhabited a person. It could be. But most importantly, it's about operation. It's about the operation. Now, a man does not operate differently from the spirit that dwells inside of him. So, it's about operation. So, he said, if I cast out devil by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Verse 29. He said, or else, please take note of this. How can one enter into a strong man's house? So, Satan is also a strong man. You must take note of that. And it takes a stronger person to take his spoil. Okay? That's why the Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's all singular thing. It's all singular pronoun. Okay? So, in other words, we have come to understanding that Satan is also a strong man. How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he first binds the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So it takes a stronger man to bind a strong man. I think that is simple arithmetic. So, and we have understood that the stronger one is in us. Now, verse 30. Look at verse 30. He said, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, please, can you take me back? Take me back. Take me back extremely. There is something that I want to discuss here. Take me back again. Take me back again. Start from verse 26. Okay. Go to verse 25. Look at this. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, please listen to this. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to what? To desolation. Every kingdom that is divided against itself is brought into desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Verse 26. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Praise God. How shall then his kingdom stand? So in other words, he had a kingdom. Listen, he had what? He had a kingdom. I'm going to explain this to us. It's not contrary to what we have learned, that Satan does not have a kingdom. He had what? A kingdom, but there is a division in that kingdom. Now, the kingdom of Satan is earthly realm. It's the entire earthly realm. You know, when he took the Lord Jesus Christ to the pinnacle of the mountain, he said, "All this I will give unto you, all only if you can bow down to me. For it has been what? Delivered into my hand." The earthly realm was his kingdom. He was prepared to give them out. But unfortunately, division came at the Calvary. Praise God. Division came at the Calvary. A lot of people pitched tents with Jesus. A lot of people pitch tents with Jesus. And people are still pitching tents with Christ now. So there was division in that kingdom. And so it's no longer a kingdom. It's no longer a kingdom, because in a kingdom, of course, we've learned so much about the kingdom. As Pastor taught. So because of this division, apparently, he has no kingdom again. Because a kingdom must not stand against itself. That's why Paul was talking to us. He said, "Some you who are sometimes dark, alienated from the commonwealth of God, has now called the Son of God." Praise God. And so, by that simple work of the cross of Calvary, the kingdom of Satan collapsed. It has collapsed. That's the truth. As a matter of fact, what we see, if there is any, is the caricature, which will also be subdued by the armies that are being raised. Okay? By the armies that are being raised. So we are seeing the caricature of it. That's why none of them can stand against us. If they stand against us, we overcome. You have said that the enemy will come like a flood of water, but the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard. Because it's not a kingdom, it's not a dominion again, it's not an authority again. And this is the reason why the present kingdom must be understood. Praise God. It must be understood, because if we don't understand it, we will not be able to exercise and live in authority. We must have that mentality. Listen, after this kingdom thing, we must come into another realm of operation. We must come into another realm of thinking. We must come into another realm of life, which is contrary to the previous life which we have lived. Because the whole essence of it is the kingdom. So please, let's quickly go back. So we have seen, okay, now let me quickly talk about the coming kingdom. Okay. Matthew 24, verse 2. Matthew 24, verse 2. He said, "And Jesus said unto them," he said unto the disciple, see ye not all these things? In other words, can you see all of these things? "Surely, or verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Verse 3. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciple came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall this day be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Praise God. Well, when we are talking about that, or when we get to that, the Holy Spirit will help us to understand that the end of the world does not necessarily mean the destruction as it happened in the days of Noah. Praise God. But he's talking about the operation, the system of the world. When will the system of the world come to an end, come to close? It's not, people think that it's going to be the destruction of the end of the Antichrist. We destroy people, we kill, we get there. If time permits, and we will look into the details or into a little bit of it, so that we will have a clear understanding of it. Because you see that even in another scripture that talk about eschatology, there are still some people who are on the earth, empowered, emboldened. All of us who are in Christ. Praise God. So in other words, a kingdom is coming when the system of the world will collapse completely. It will rupture. And so another system of the kingdom will be unleashed upon the earth. Another system of the kingdom of Christ will now be unleashed upon the earth. So in other words, we have the kingdom present. Of course, I've shown you two scriptures on that. We have thy kingdom come. That is the kingdom we are expecting. If I cast out devil by the Spirit of the Lord, the kingdom of God is now with you. The present kingdom. This one is the third testimony that the kingdom is coming. But there is a previous kingdom that has taken place in the past. Now listen, when we look at this thing, the kingdom is eternal, but it is also dispensational. Praise God. It's eternal kingdom. The kingdom of God is eternal, but it is also what? Dispensational. Of course, the dispensation of angels. That was the dispensation of Lucifer. But I'm not going into details of that now. Okay? But presently, we are in the dispensation of man. We are in the dispensation of man. And when I'm talking about the dispensation of man, I am not talking about that Adamic man. I am talking about new created reality. The man that is newly created. The man that is born again. This is his dispensation. This is his time. This is the time for him to unleash the kingdom. This is the time to show forth the kingdom. Praise God. This is the time to come into kingdom and to align into kingdom. Now, because the kingdom is shared. It is a shared, permit me to use the word property. Or it's a shared realm. It's a shared realm. Yes, I think that's the right word. The kingdom is a shared realm. The realm of the earth. He has given unto men to rule and to dominate over. Praise God. And that was what we read in our text. Can you go back to that book of Genesis? Where is a teaching. You won't mind. Now, Adam was the first testator of that kingdom here on earth. Praise God. Adam was who? Was the first testator of that kingdom. He was specifically telling him. And God says, let us make man in our image. And that man was Adam. And in our, after our likeness, the likeness of that same similar dominion, the similarity of dominion that takes place. He was not talking about making them like angels, but like Elohim. Let's make them like Elohim. Let them be like Elohim. When he was using the word let us, he was not talking about angels. Because the Bible says that since the beginning of time, was there a time when God said that to any angel, that you are my son? But he has said that to man. He says, so let us make man in our image and after our likeness and let them have what? Dominion. Like we are dominating the heaven. We rule over the affairs of the heavens. We give command to this and they do. We give command to that and they go. Let's have a replicate of such people here on earth who will be in the realm of leadership. who will be in the realm of headship, who will be in the realm of dominion. And so he began to state their functions and their limitations. So in other words, that kingdom activity is only possible through obedience. Praise God. That kingdom thing in the days of Adam is only possible through what? Obedience. The more they obey, the more they become him. The more they become stronger. The more they become powerful. The more they become mightier. The more they obey, the more they look like him. And the moment they disobey, the less they become of God. Praise God. The less they become of God. So it was predicated basically on obedience. It was predicated basically on obedience. Now we saw the obedience when he said, I have given you all of these things. And he drew a demarcation. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you must not partake of it. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Or you shall die. Praise God. You shall die. He said you will die. In other words, you will drop down from that which we have made you to be. There is going to be a dropping. Your rating will drop. Your authority will drop. Your dominion will drop. And those things that you have dominated upon will rebel against you. That's the meaning of the death. Adam was not physically dead when he rebelled. But there is dominion that dies in Adam. There is authority that dies in Adam. There is power that dies in Adam. The image of God in Adam dies. And if you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, when he gave birth, it was no longer after the image of God, but after the image of man. Praise God. It was no longer after the image of God, but after the image of man. Why? Because of rebelliousness. In other words, that kingdom was predicated on obedience. The more you obey, praise God. So it is always very, very important for us to get into the beginning, for us to have a better understanding of what the kingdom is. Now, listen, the issue of creation and recreation, which God made, the Bible said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Of course, that was not the first creation of the heaven and the earth. That wasn't the first creation of the heaven and the earth. Because when you begin to look at details, into the details of the terminology and engage, can you give me the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2? Okay, verse 2. Genesis 1, 1, 2. Okay. And the earth was, give me verse 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without what? Form. And void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, please. No, go back. We can lay hold on certain hints in these scriptures. One of the hints that we can lay hold was that there was an existence of water. Praise God. Hallelujah. There was an existence of what? It was not just created. There was an existence of water. And of course, the reason why America has not moved from this earth is just because they have not found earth water in most of the galaxies that they have visited. Do you understand? So that means that the earth was inhabited by some group of who God knows. We don't have hint over that. Do you understand? Because if you go into that, we might run into barbed wire. I don't want to guess. But Pastor might have an answer. Praise God.
It's not pre-Adamic
creation. Pre-Adamic creation. Do you understand? Because the water that was there shows that there are some set of people who require that water. God doesn't create things that people will not need. Before he creates things, that means people need to require it. Praise God. Now, so we have that hint. Then, another hint that we could also, 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at 2 Peter 3 from verse 6 and 7. Now, the Bible says that whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. Do you understand that? If you can relate that with the book of Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 and 2. Those things have been kept in store. So when people say that, how can it be possible for somebody to create this thing for 30 days? It was already created. They were kept in store. The word perish is very important. It's not the same thing as void. Perish means existence. Do you understand? It means there was an existence which has now been demolished, which has been put into ruin or into complete desolation or annihilation. That was what perish means. So that means we have another hint. Then there was a word which was pre-Adamic word. And so, what kind of people are saying in that world? Are they subject to God? Are they living a life of obedience? Are they submissive unto God? We will also get the answer when we get to the book of Ezekiel and the book of Isaiah. You get those answers so that we will understand that the kingdom thing has always been in the mind of the Father. Is the preoccupation. He created us for nothing. He created us but for the kingdom. Praise God. Now, let me quickly remove something from your mentality. That you are created for the kingdom does not necessarily mean that, oh yes, I will dominate, I have to dominate, and I begin to... No. It's not that kind of dominion. We don't have that kind of dominion. That is not their attitude. Now, how do I know this? The Holy Ghost, God, the Holy Ghost, the Father, the Son, they submit to one another. And yet, they have dominion. I don't know whether you understand. Whatsoever the Father is doing is what the Son is also doing. There is no dissension. There is no dissenting between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There is a kind of harmony in relationship. And yet they have dominion. They have rank. If I am permitted to say that. Because I asked a question, I said, who even gave them rank? It's here on earth that we gave them rank. Praise God. Because the Father is not different from the Son, and the Son is not different from the Father. Neither the Spirit is different from the two of them. I don't know whether you understand. Oh, okay. Pastor, we shed light on that. He said, the work that I do, that which I do, I hear from my Father. And when he was sending the Holy Ghost, he said he will not speak of himself, but he will say of the things that he hear from me. Haba. Was it not the same Holy Ghost that went to the grave and bring him up? If it is the realm of men, Do you understand what I'm saying? But this man came, he said, what he hears of me, he was not saying what he hears of God. He said, what he hears of me, he will speak to you. That which he hears from me, he will speak to you. There are many things I would have loved to say, but the Spirit of truth will come and elaborate it. So in other words, he was a representation of Christ. He was another Christ, because he said that when I am going, I will give you another type of me. He's another type of me. Something that is exactly me. Praise God. So you can begin to see that the operation of three of them is mystery. So when we are talking about dominion, it's not that kind of dominion that you hear in churches and you begin to say, you come. Oh, no, that's not the Spirit of God, the Spirit of witchcraft. Do you understand that? You come. And you put your hand in your pocket. Yes, we are operating in dominion. That's demonic dominion. We are not to dominate over. Did you see when he said have dominion over the fish, over this? Did he say over men? Praise God. Now listen. But that is not to say that we cannot dominate over men. But not the type of men that we are. Do you understand? It's not the type of men. We can dominate over another kind of men. Do you understand that? You don't. Those that are not saved, those that are not born again, okay? For example, when a man is filled with the spirit of infirmity and demonic spirit, you can exercise your dominion over him. And you sit down there, command you to sit down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you? Or a demonic imposition is coming upon you. And you say, oh no, I don't have dominion. That's when you're supposed to operate your dominion. And you know that this thing is not from God. It's from the pit of air. It's from the realm of Satan. Then you exercise your dominion and authority over such. Do you understand? You now overstretch it. You overstretch it. You show the kind of person that you are after the order of Christ, after the image of Christ, after the likeness of the last man. Praise God. Now, look at, in the book of Genesis chapter 6, verse 7. And God said that the Lord said, I will destroy man. That's the destruction of Noah. The destruction in the days of Noah. That's why I said that this thing is dispensational. Do you understand? And of course, it's a template. It's also a template for us, for the church. He said, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Why? Because the Bible says that the heart of men has become very corrupt, has become very, very wicked, has become very, very isolated. He has exempted himself from God and is ruling his government. He's no longer ruling according to the dictate which was after the order of the first Adam. And so he said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. Praise God. But Noah found grace. not have found grace. It's a template. Do you understand? This is a template. That there are sets of people that God is going to exempt. And that is why your name must be written among these people. That is why you must deliberately register yourself among them, that I want to be part of a newer generation. Another newer generation will be raised. Or are being raised, yes. It's not that they will be raised, they are being raised. What we are doing now is to raise the generation of another Noah who would have drawn so much grace from God. Grace to live after the order and instruction of God. Grace not to walk after the order of the world. They won't live wickedly like the days of Noah. And so what happened to them, what happened to the Noah and his children is what will happen to us. Praise God. It's what will happen to us. That's why it's important for us to begin to receive this life. We must begin to receive this life. Oh, okay. No problem. I think when you come for retreat, you will hear a lot more about immortality. And you will see what those things, why those things is very, very important in our lives. So, in other words, we are going to see the same example which is after the order of Noah. Okay, now. Like I said, we do not have the details of when the first world was inhabited, neither do we have the details of who inhabited it. But we have a hint in the book of Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 12, from verse 7. The Bible said that there was war. Where? So, listen. When I read this scripture, I concluded that what the earth is going through presently, the heaven has also went through it before. And went through it before. And if heaven survived by the reason of the divine intervention of the Father himself, through the Son, because by the time you begin to look at the tail end of it, you will also see the role that the Lord Jesus Christ was not, the blood of Jesus Christ was not only shed for the world, it was also shed for them in heaven. Because there was a blood of sprinkling that was sprinkled even in heaven before the heaven could be redeemed. And because what the heaven is currently is. And so, the same thing that was done in heaven, or that Christ did in heaven, he has also done the same thing for us. So all we need to do is to... They are warning me. Let me quickly read the scripture. They are warning me to round up. Okay, there was one in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angel and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Yes, seriously. Yes, serious. That was serious. Have you ever read that place and give it a thought? Neither was there any place found in heaven. Again. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. The same serpent that beguiled the man. It beguiled the angels. And it bewitched almost the thought of an angel through rebelliousness, through spirit of secessionist, through the spirit of secessionist. He began to whisper to them that we can also have our own kingdom. Ha, hallelujah. I don't know the way he said it, but all I knew is that he rebelled. Do you understand? He rebelled. But as soon as that rebellion took place, some people rose up against him. And that, Michael, the battle was led by Michael. Who is going to rise up like Michael did in our days? Who is going to fight for the kingdom like Michael did in our days? God is also raising Michael here on earth. Michael was raised in heaven. Michael took risk. Michael, the Bible said that they loved not their life unto what? To death. That means they can also miss out in the process. But they took risk. And this is exactly what God Christ is also doing in our days, to raise the lives of Michael. Because look at what he said. He said, cast out, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. You see, this time around they didn't use S. It's a singular noun, a pronoun. It's a singular noun. And Satan, which deceived the whole world. Now they are now referring to him because he has been cast to the earth. Who deceived the whole world? They are making reference or preference unto the world that the same person who is deceiving you. Do you understand? That has deceived us before. Has led us into deception. Before, they are just casting back. It's like they are paraphrasing what has happened. Do you understand? That, and the great dragon was cast out. And that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into what? Into the air. And his angel was cast out with him, those demons. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come what? Salvation. That was when the heaven was saved. This same man that is deceiving us has deceived the heaven. Now is come salvation and what? And strength. They were weak. They were full of infirmities. Because of the deception, we don't know how it looked like. Whether it was after the similitude of the present earth. But we knew that immediately he was cast out of the heaven, strength was restored unto the angels. He said, strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. Did you see? The kingdom of our God and the power of Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God, day and night. He must have accused Christ too. Hello? He's the only God that he must have accused him. We accused them. And previously they mentioned Christ. Maybe he has gone to the Father and said, Jesus Christ wants to take the kingdom from you. It's possible. That man is full of wise. He's full of wise. It's possible. Which accused them before our God, day and night. Look at what happened now. Verse 11. He said, and they overcame him. Overcame him. By what? By the blood of the Lamb. Who was the Lamb? Hello, church. Who was the Lamb? Adam alone. Christ. In other words, like the blood was shed for the kingdom to be restored in heaven. So he also shed his blood here on earth to restore the kingdom. And so, if the kingdom was restored in heaven, it is sure that the kingdom will also be restored to the Father, even here on earth. Praise God. But before that time, look at it. And they overcame me by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. What is the word of their testimony? Their testimony is what God has said concerning the kingdom. And we also have this testimony too. This is the testimony in which we can overcome. This is the testimony in which we can overcome. We cannot overcome him without this testimony. Take this testimony before we can overcome him. And they love not their lives unto what? Unto the death. So this life that they are calling my life, my life, my life, my life, my life, my life, my life. If you want to be part of the kingdom, you must give up your life for him. It's only those who give up their life that has it. Only those that give up their life that will have their lives back. But if you keep your life to yourself, you will lose it. So, in other words, there are risks in this journey. There are adventure or danger in this journey. There are adventure that men will look at you and say you are crazy. Yes, you are. In this journey, because the first craziest person were the angels. Praise God. How dare they challenge the Lucifer? That was a serious risk. That was a serious risk. Verse 12, and I will round up with that. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens. Listen. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knew that he had but a short time. So he came with double wrath upon the earth. Do you understand? I don't know whether you understand. He came with double wrath. He was angry in heaven. But now, it's no longer, the anger has aggravated into wrath. And he was prepared to wage war against the state. Now, by the time we go on into this eschatology, we begin to see how he declared war and wage war against the state. Sometimes he prevailed. But eventually, the state also prevail. Please don't give up. The kingdom of the Father is ours. We are the one that is ordained to take this kingdom for him. And we don't have any other profession.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.